Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security, joined by the host with the most, the Hall of Famer, the difference maker, Mr. Tony Sager. Tony, how are you, sir?
Great, Sean. Great to be back.
Awesome. We have got a really interesting show today. So we have Nick Rust and Stephen Thomas, part of CIS, coming to talk to us about aligning Secure by Design with CIS Secure Suite, CIS Hardened Images, and cloud resources. So Stephen, why don't we start with you, a quick bio, what do you do at CIS, and anything you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, happy day, Sean. I lead revenue here at CIS, as you well know, and Tony does as well. So happy to be here with you guys. First time participant, longtime listener, so very excited to be here. Been in the cybersecurity world for the last 30 years and had the opportunity to come and join into the mission that you and Tony have been driving for such a long period of time, and wanted to really be able to participate and work with what is an organization that drives security across the ecosystem and with our state and local partners out through the multi-state ISAC. So really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stephen. And Nick, over to you.
Thank you, Sean. Very excited to be here. Long time participant. Excited to have the opportunity to chat today. So my role here is Director of Distribution. And what that means is I have the opportunity and privilege to work with our channel partners across cloud, AWS, Azure, Google, as well as the resell partners and other partners and customers working with our resources in cloud environments.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both. And again, this is going to be a rich discussion where really trying to take the concept of secure by design, integrate it into really operational practices for many different organizations across different categories. We're going to think about how we fit into an ecosystem to support secure by design. Now, Tony, we've heard secure by design for maybe a number of years. In fact, I would say maybe you even generated secure by design. Just again, I always give you attribution for everything. But we've gone through this path, right? And CIS, with our unique offerings and perspectives in the market, trying to help and bring some critical elements for really the modern enterprise, thinking about secure by design. I wanted to get your thoughts first, and then we'll open up some discussion with the team here.
Yeah, I mean, just for background, you know, my technical career, my first career at the National Security Agency was in software vulnerability analysis. So finding flaws in software, you know, basically the hunt for zero days. And at that time, it was part of government development programs. So you had kind of a controlled life cycle, right? Trusted contractors, people with clearances, using special tools, very tightly controlled target environments and so forth. That rarely exists in today's world. Today's world is much more complicated. Software is composed from all kinds of pieces and parts and winds up in places that are hard to design for, right? You can't anticipate all the uses of software. But for us, secure by design, we play a bit off the CISA program in Secure by Design. And the general theme of that is moving security earlier in the life cycle. And that's a great theme, because that's been around for, you know, almost the 50 years that I've been in the business. That is, we all know it's easier to, or it's better to scrub problems out early as opposed to in the live environment, right? Where it's the most expensive, most complicated, most spread out everywhere. So the notion is generally about moving security leftward, if you were looking at a life cycle chart. But for us, right, it's also about connecting the operational environment with the development environment. So you can't take something that's got lots of flaws and somehow magically secure it in the live world. There are just too many complexities, too many dependencies. So you have to think of this as a spectrum of activity, right? I want to create software that has good security properties early, even if I don't know all the places that's going to be used. And not only do I want to create the software with an eye towards security, I want to, as a purchaser, I want to purchase it having a good set of security properties. And when I put it in the field, I want to operate it, configure it, manage it in a way that has good security properties. And then I want to manage it continuously, right? Because stuff will change, people will make mistakes, software will be updated. So if you look across that spectrum, that's the kind of lifecycle approach that we have taken at CIS with lots of our things. People think of it up as at the tail end of the lifecycle, right? You know, configure your Windows desktops and all that. But really, the Secure by Design sort of highlights the entire lifecycle. And so we talk about, what about the security of the system that we're developing software on? Well, yeah, if that doesn't have good properties, I'm not sure what's going to come out of it, and so forth, right? So you have to be able to connect the whole thing. So that's kind of a, you know, very short summary of the thinking behind the paper that we released. And of course, a lot of that confidence, you know, our tagline, creating confidence, connected world, you know, it's more than a bumper sticker, right? We create confidence because we're working with known configurations, we can manage to them, we can report on them, we can be alerted when they change. And so we tried to bring that thinking all across. We pointed to things that have known security properties, specifically the NIST software, secure software development framework, as a way to anchor that, right? Rather than create that, we use that, identify the most important subset and so forth. So but the presence of, or the existence of the pieces from CIS make it pretty straightforward. That is, we know what we should be asking for, both in the development side and in the live operational environment.
Wonderful. Now, Stephen, in your career and now at CIS, I mean, you've heard and even assessed Secure by Design from a perspective of, where does CIS fit into that overall philosophy for an organization? And what unique value generation or value proposition does CIS provide an organization through, let's say, our Secure Suite program?
Well, I think Tony mentioned it, which is, if you think just moving left, if you will, and how do we start out? We have a number of small technology companies that partner with us around our Secure Suite platform, really for access to our CIS controls and CIS benchmarks. And it becomes the foundation for their set of systems around developing software. It helps them prioritize that operating model for what are kind of the foundational safeguards they're putting in place for that software application that they're building. And it's that foundation and that set of systems that then governs. And for me, I think one of the great things about the controls, whether you apply them to that specific system or a broader organization, is it really allows you to, you know, rinse and repeat, right? So you're always developing something that's secure and you're building in a secure environment. And then if you tag along the backside of that, and, you know, Nick is here and he's going to be talking about kind of some of our capabilities in public cloud and the work that we do. But if you think about the benchmarks, is then taking the controls down to a very fundamental level around a system and saying, how do we make sure that as we deploy the controls in a very tactical, technical way to all of our systems, we make those configurations standardized and we make them repeatable once again, right? Where they become secure by default or secure by design in the process. And that's what gets me excited. I think you could always go look at the next widget or the security thing that's really cool and neat that day. But if you aren't doing the basics around controls management and configuration management, it doesn't matter how great maybe widget number 3 might be. It's not going to solve for some of the gaps that you might have, you know, if you're not leveraging a controls framework like the CIS controls. So again, that's what Secure by Design and Secure Suite mean to me, is we partner with, you know, again, software companies, healthcare companies, and our SLED partners out there.
Oh, 100%. I really love the foundational element because it really does set that repeatable process from an architectural schematic, right? I can build that same capability multiple times and scale it with our capabilities and what we're providing. And Nick, that leads me down the path of our cloud resources. As Stephen had mentioned, and your expertise here is, when we look at a hardened image, when we look at the cloud capabilities that we're providing organizations, we're just taking, you know, on-prem and we're meeting you in the cloud, right? Would you agree with that or any other thoughts you have there?
Yeah, you know, I think certainly when you talk about the cloud, it adds a level of complexity to secure by design. And when it's always easier to secure something within your own house where you have 100% responsibility, it's in, you can make sure the doors and the windows are locked, all those type of things. Once you start moving to the cloud, then you introduce, you know, whether you're, you know, how you're using the cloud, whether it's infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service, all of those nuances come with the shared, really understanding that shared responsibility. So I think from a best practices and CIS secure by design, there are a number of resources that CIS can help in number one, helping you secure the cloud with our CIS foundation benchmarks. That's a great way for you to go ahead and understand how to secure your identity, how to secure your network, how to understand where those internet gateways are, et cetera. And then obviously, as you start to go ahead and get to, you know, think about secure configuration that's of the cloud, how you're going ahead and securing your tenant, how you're making sure people can't go ahead and basically deploy non-secure configurations as they stand up new accounts. And then certainly CIS benchmarks, as Stephen mentioned, the version of the benchmarks inside of our cloud operating systems are those CIS hardened images. So from a control standpoint, you're able to go ahead and have the secure configuration of the operating system for whatever you're going ahead and standing up. And, there's certainly lots of values to lots of additional resources CIS had, our CIS Cloud Controls Companion Guide, which will actually help those organizations with that prescriptive. Here's how you can go ahead and prioritize some of these hundreds of cloud services that are available and changing every day. So from those perspectives, certainly secure by design inside of a cloud environment presents additional complexity to how you're going ahead and securing it.
Well, but Sean, I think the other thing is here, really, again, going to Nick's point, it takes the guesswork out of it. Right. And that's really what we're trying to do here as we think about, or as a security organization, and you know better than anyone, is the CISO for CIS, is if the more you can remove the guesswork for your operating partners, so for the development teams, the people that are building the environments, again, going back to that repeatable, stable configuration, repeatable, stable security processes, that's really what we're looking to build here. So again, it's all about that repeatability and simplicity that we're looking to bring to our partners.
Yeah, exactly. We've done the hard work for you, right? In these cases, because where it leads me down this path, and Tony, this is one of the things I wanted to at least review is when we think about secure baselines. We've implemented, let's say, a benchmark. Okay, so you've got your foundation. Well, we're done. Right. I secured by design this foundation. It's whoa. There's a life cycle here that, do not just stop and, I've mitigated the risk. And again, I think this is where the controls, the cloud companion guide, all of the capabilities that we're providing help you continue that build, as it were, through secure design, operationalization, to Stephen's point. Really where you, and the reason, I'm focusing on you, Tony, is because when we've talked about the controls, it's always been about operationalization, getting that guesswork and not having to read, large volumes of text of what you could do. But here's some actionable items that actually have proven to have that capability to move you into not only secure by design, but throughout that entire life cycle. Is that the right philosophy to think about?
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, my experience growing up in the Defense Department, watching people run networks while fighting wars, literally in sandy tents, around the world. People who haven't worked that front line don't realize how many thousands of options and settings and, just an extraordinary amount of tedium and detail in any sort of system, right? And it's complicated, umpteen technologies, each of which has hundreds or thousands of potentially security relevant settings that you have to worry about. Well, I don't know about you, but I haven't worked in an enterprise that has an expert in every one of those technologies, right? Someone who could understand it, understand the attackers, be able to figure out the best possible security configuration. And so a lot of our work is about bringing the best minds together. I sometimes talk about, Stephen, for you, about the benchmarks. You get the benefit of the wisdom and experience of people that you can't afford to hire. In fact, you probably can't find them, right? And they will come together as part of our volunteer workforce to create this content You know, what we provide is sort of the professional infrastructure for it, right? The way to gather people, define when it's going to get done, define the roadmap, work with the vendors, build alignment to public policy, all that. So that's what we do as a company. But all that analysis is, you get to benefit from an amazing army of people who contribute to benchmarks and also controls. And so that's, the bad news is we're all connected. Therefore, one problem affects us all. The good news is that gives you the opportunity for collective action. And so being able to get to a baseline with known security properties, right? Something that you can have some confidence in is actually, in my experience, out of reach for most enterprises. If they try to do it on their own, they're just not going to get there. And if they do it once, they certainly don't have the energy to do it again for the next version, again for the next patch, for the next hot fix. It's just too much. And so the ability to marshal all those resources, and I bet Stephen, the numbers better than I do, but I mean, we cover 100 plus technologies. We keep them current, right? So we are constantly refreshing that content in a way to keep up with a ever-changing problem. And again, that is out of reach. I've worked for some of the biggest networks on earth through the Defense Department and NSA. There just aren't enough people to keep up with all that stuff. And so, it's folly to try. So better to put your heads together. Let's benefit from all this, because then we can focus on, let's manage our network so we can actually deliver service or whatever the work is you have to have in front of you. I'll say also, Sean, again, you see this uniquely as a CISO, right? You're putting together building blocks that have properties that you can count on, and you're building the machinery that will both measure, report, allow you to manage this. At the same time, the network is not there for joy, it's there for service, right? It's there to serve our employees, allow us to interact, provide value to customers. So all that has to come together. And I think that's, again, starting from that baseline. For those of us who have been around for a long time, and I said this in 2001 and 2 and 3 when I was first getting into this kind of stuff, good configuration management or security configuration management is the bedrock of every successful security program, period. Right? If you can't do that, you got a lot of problems. You can't count on magic or, reading the right threat report or the right tool is not going to save you if you don't know what you have, if you can't manage it, know when it's not set up the way you expected it to be and all that kind of stuff. So that's I think, that provides us, again, the ability then to focus on the job, right? The operation, the mission, and manage the machinery, which is incredibly important, but without dealing with all those millions of details.
Hey, Tony, quick question for you, just in the vein of, you were talking about that operational environment, right, where everybody's trying to do something at once, and you've got, you've got your cloud architect, you've got your builders. One of the things that I think in all organizations that they struggle with is the common language. And it's one of the things that really, or again, the baseline, say IG1, just core controls, is how do you manage that language and how does something like the controls help you communicate in a simplistic way across an organization? Sean, this might even be to you as well, right? To me, offering that foundation of how you communicate and so that everyone's using that same language is almost as important as defining those controls early so that people know what you're asking.
Yeah, Steve, that's a great point. Sean and I had this discussion on earlier podcasts, but, where trust, I grew up in a world where trust was binary. You were trusted or you weren't. You had a security clearance or you didn't, right? It was the trusted developer or they weren't. That doesn't exist anymore. So trust is the loftier term, is a dynamically negotiated condition. And Sean deals with this every day, right? With suppliers, third-party issues, all that stuff. And so that language issue, okay, I'm going to bring you into my supply chain. To do that means we're going to exchange certain kinds of messages, certain kinds of data. How can I trust that you will handle that responsibly? Because I'm legally obligated, based on the sector that I'm in or whatever. Well, one way to do that is to say, how do you protect all your desktops and servers? Now, here's how we protect ours, right? So it provides the basis for a language of negotiating trust. And you don't want to spend all your time negotiating trust. You want to do that cheaply, repeatably. Back to your words, Stephen, right? Repeatably. Because if that supplier can't meet your price point, you've got to find another one. So you want low transition costs to the next supplier. How would you protect this data if we exchange it because you're now in my supply chain? So providing a basis for that, and by the way, there won't be one size fits all. But that, I used to get that a lot when I was down this road, started down this road. No, there isn't. But the baseline is really matters, because in any given enterprise, there'll be a few exceptions, right? Some legacy application that has to run, some port that needs to be open because of some connection thing that they had from the 1990s or whatever. Well, okay, that's a place for a human to inspect, look at the term, and from this is compensating controls. You know, this, Sean, I'm describing your world. This is your world, right? And then, so you say, okay, I protect my data according to the CIS way. Here's the five exceptions. Let me tell you why and what I have done. How would you do this? Oh, well, I use the CIS controls also, but I have six different exceptions. Well, let's talk about those, not about the thousands. Let's talk about those few, and let's see, can we get to a place of confidence where we both believe, right, that this connection will not increase the risk to either one of us. So it seems to me, as a non-CISO, that's the right level of conversation, right? This negotiation, the common language of controls and so forth, seems to me the right place to start.
Exactly. Well, I'll answer that question, but I'm going to keep our audience on the edge of their seats by taking a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You know, Tony, cloud security is like setting up a new home security system.
You know you have responsibilities, like setting up alarms and locking certain doors.
But unlike a home security system, cloud security doesn't come with a manual.
No, you don't have a definitive guide to what you need to harden in your cloud environments or how.
There's got to be a better way.
Thankfully, there is. CIS hardened images. These virtual machine images come pre-hardened to the CIS benchmarks, providing built-in cloud security and compliance without any guesswork.
CIS hardened images are also available for just cents per compute hour, saving you time and money managing your cloud security posture.
And all while using major cloud service platforms like AWS, Azure, GCP, and OCI.
Cost-effective cloud configurations, CIS hardened images are ready to go when you are.
Spin one up today by visiting cisecurity.org.
Okay, we're back. So my answer to that question is ditto to what Tony said. I'm kidding.
No, you live that world. I just pontificate about that
exactly.
World.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. And you know, one way in terms of that translation, and Stephen had identified it with the control basis, is a way that we capture really the elements and requirements of security throughout sections of the organization. But one of the things to note is it's not the same communication strategy to everybody. It's toned and the vernacular is different to different groups based on really the risk assessment, their integration in terms of our overall compliance program, and how we then factor in the controls that affect the organization. And so it does change based on who you talk to. And we condition that in some cases. And again, it's not to not provide all of the controls, but in some cases, it's not necessary. So we try to compartmentalize it in such a way that is, one, translatable, two, it can be received, and one, doesn't create that confusion, because that's exactly what we want to do, is remove that complexity, remove the confusion, and allow everybody to contribute in a way that, one, is effective, but again, doesn't affect the business. And again, Tony, this is, you mentioned this, right? We still got a business to operate. You know, if it was, you know, if I'm going risk averse, I'm saying disconnect from the internet and we're all set. I've won. They're secure by design.
But you're out of a job.
Exactly. That'll be my first and last decision, and well done.
I'm feeling attacked here, Sean, because you're talking about groups in the organization and, you know, being part of a sales and marketing organization. I'm wondering what you tell people internally, how you communicate to our organization here, right? Is this, we're the grand animals picture folks, right? Is that what you're trying to suggest?
That is, I would never, ever say that on air. Wonderful. Now, Nick, you know, we go down another path with cloud. And as you mentioned, there's a difference between on-prem cloud infrastructure. There is the concepts of really transparency in that space between, from a platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, software as a service. We're trying to meet really our membership and the world with some of the materials that we're putting out in terms of cloud resources. So when we enter that element of responsibility, we also take on some of that responsibility by trying to assist in the space, both through hardened images and the resources. Anything you describe there and how we're trying to meet really the membership and the world in the space?
When I hear shared responsibility, it takes me back to Tony saying, I think reminding me the first time he'd heard me say, it doesn't mean shared accountability. And, it's still, if you own the data, you're responsible for making sure it's secure no matter where it is. And so I think from that perspective, it's important for everyone, as you said, to, meet them where they are and understand, where those technical debt in maybe something that wasn't not secure by design previously, and I've just lifted and shifted it to the cloud. If I've just moved something that was not really designed, into an environment that's different than it, you're bringing in, you're increasing your risk by bringing these different workloads that were from an on-prem environment into a cloud environment. And so again, it's just increasing that complexity. I also see from the standpoint, we see a lot around, specifically around the secure configuration of the operating systems within the cloud. And that's where hardened images can really help those organizations from a securing your supply chain, right? I know that if I get this out of the marketplace, that it's current, it's available, it's been patched from that standpoint, and I'm bringing it into my development process so that when that resource goes online, it is secured and you've understood, this is a known good. It's starting from our golden image and we're able to go ahead and move forward. And then at the same time, you've built those automations to continuously go ahead and understand, where are you in compliance? How are you assessing it? What's your remediation look like? So again, I think, there's a lot of opportunities with CIS hardened images, as well as the cloud and using automation to help you go ahead and reduce those risks, those vulnerabilities. I think we saw a shameless plug from Verizon DBIR, vulnerabilities still one of the top breach kind of points from there. Obviously identity as well. Identity in the cloud is very different than when you're in an on-prem environment. Traditionally, the castle and the moat, right? That the identities become the new firewall. And I think in the complexities of organizations, and certainly, depending on if you have one cloud environment, an on-prem, a hybrid, or potentially, a secondary cloud environment, there's a lot of those connections between it that all need to be, have the process and the security controls in place to understand how it all works together.
One of the things I see people get stuck around is, I want to do it all. And they start eating the elephant rather than saying, hey, I've got a legacy application that we're trying to move to public cloud. How do we tackle one small piece of that project with a secure by design approach rather than trying to think about the entire organization? Is that a good way for folks to think about starting with a concept like secure by design or kind of core infrastructure? Maybe you could, if you've got an example.
We're conscious of that problem as we create the content, right? The controls and the benchmarks. And, that's where IG1 came from that you referenced earlier, right? Is that, compared to the giant control catalogs, our stuff is pretty tight and terse, readable, et cetera, et cetera. But even that turned out to be a burden for really small enterprises. So the idea is, well, what's the most useful on-ramp? How do I get started? What's the foundation, right? And as near as I can tell, we're the only folks who have formalized a notion of cyber hygiene. I used to call cyber hygiene the most used, least defined term in the industry. People would say, we need more cyber hygiene. For example, we should patch better. For example, we should configure better. Well, that's all true, but examples, you can't build a program of improvement around examples, right? You need structure. And that's the idea, was we could provide that structure to help people go from the starting point to something more complicated, either as their requirements change or they mature, or their marketplace differs and demands higher security. Those are all paths that people will take. But you don't want to throw away the work you've done and start over. You want to just build on the foundation, right? But Sean, actually, you've thought about this and done it for us, right? You took us a particular state to. And there's a certain joyful paranoia in being the CISO for a security company. So I'm sure you have a story here.
Well, exactly. I think it gets down to this, is when you try to you know, drink the ocean, as it were, in terms of this overall capability, or eat the elephant there from Stephen, is you're bound to failure. What you're going to get is overly saturated with information, requirements, risks, and you're not going to be able to compartmentalize those at all in such a way that allows you to iterate. You have to start iterating right from the beginning. And this goes back to secure by design. That's the way we did it at CIS. We tore, when I started, and this is now, goodness, over eight years. When I first came in, when we went through really thinking about secure by design, it was, I stripped everything down to kind of the foundation, to Stephen's point, and said, let me iterate in a way that, one, I'm not affecting current security operations, right? Those still exist. I didn't rip out all the firewalls and everything like that. But what I did was, where's the concepts and what's the riskiest thing for the organization? And I had to put myself in a perspective of really the red team. What am I thinking about from threat? I then can translate that into elements of risk. Now I start to do prioritization. And that helps me now build the 30, 60, 90, right? So I can start to assess, build capability in the space, move in a direction, one, that gives me momentum, that I can prove has a requirement to be assessed at that particular point in time, and continue to iterate. It became very projectized at that point versus trying to operationalize everything all at once. You're just not going to get success. And the reason I know that is because I tried it, not here, but at a previous organization. I was doing, exactly, yeah, Tony, exactly. So at a previous organization, I was responsible for global compliance. And I said, okay, how many things do we need to comply with? There was eight. Okay, we're going to do them all. And so now I have eight different elements. I didn't have the translations, had to create that myself in terms of what are we going to start with? And this led me to, and this is the story of me integrating to the CIS controls version 5. Because I said, I look at all five, six of these elements, and now try to bring them together. I said, I don't know really what to do, how to approach it. So I brought the controls in, used that as the translation, and now started to align. I said, okay, now I can execute on these things because I know what is a capability that can be measured, monitored, and implemented as part of an operation versus this ephemeral control this. Okay, how? I have no idea. So that's really where I started with the controls at version 5, and it helped me to take that and start to build that projectized approach. Rather than, like I said, trying to drink the ocean there.
Yeah, good story. Hey, Nick, I wanted to come back to one thing that you raised and really emphasize it for the audience here. You know, and you talked about, again, the hardened images, the cloud, and so forth. And, you know, we use this, at least in the early days, we use this tagline, creating confidence in a connected world. And it's more than a bumper sticker for us, right? Creating is an active thing. Confidence is not about perfection. It's about, you know, you can trust the technical competence, the knowledge, and so forth, and all that. But I wrote a thought piece recently, a play on the word. It's conveying confidence. And you guys live this, right? Whether you get the content by downloading it from our website, using our tools, or through a vendor partner, or through a hard image, we go to extraordinary lengths to make sure that what you get is what we intended, you know, through both technical means and business means. So, to tell us your perspective, how would you answer that question for somebody that says, hey, if I do this thing through this cloud provider, how do I know it's really what you guys said?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tony. And, I think when you talk about a security policy and then trust but verify how that policy is implemented, right? One of the things we've sort of seen before is, oh, well, everything's hardened to a CIS level 1 benchmark. Okay, who's doing that work? Oh, well, our team downloaded it off GitHub and we're applying that script in this. And, you know, again, so yeah, from the policy perspective, they were making a level 1 CIS benchmark, but it was outdated. It wasn't supported. It was, you know, who knows who put that script on GitHub, and, you know, from that perspective. So again, when you are a CIS member and you're leveraging Secure Suite and our tooling to go ahead and create that golden image off of that benchmark, it gives you that confidence, as you're saying, and from Sean's perspective, that artifact, I can now prove this came from here. It was was known good to this golden configuration. And now we've gone ahead and been able to move that in the same way that you can go ahead and reduce that supply chain risk by using a hardened image out of one of the CSP marketplaces. So you can, by basically using that, either whether it be our direct membership tooling to create that, or certainly a third party. We work with many product vendor members that are third parties, you know, that can go ahead and work with it. Again, you're able to go ahead and make sure that as that resource is deployed, that it is deployed to the organization's design standards and essentially, secure at default. One of the things we saw, I think, you know, in that COVID time frame, a lot of organizations running to stand up resources that couldn't get on-prem. So it's great. Well, we'll go put this in the cloud. And then as that unfolded, now you have teams trying to bolt on security and reduce those systems that are already up and running that may have those vulnerabilities that weren't properly secure by design when they were pushed.
Yeah, that's great. Now that's a great example of this. Again, the security is a life cycle activity, right? So you don't want to break that confidence, you know, and you don't want to sit there trying to explain to an auditor, well, we got it from GitHub and we cobbled together a script thing and we did. Okay, you're going to spend quite a bit of time explaining that as opposed to, you know, I can show you the chain of logic that says confidence came from CIS. I can trace it back to the source. And that was one of the first things I said when I came on board here in 2015, right? We always have to be able to go back to the source. That's no matter how they modify it, tailor it, you always want to be able to, in a machine way, say, here, I can trace it back to the source. Now, here's the five authorized exceptions or whatever your model happens to be. But that really matters because it gives you that basis for negotiation of trust that we talked about before.
Brilliant. Brilliant. All right. Well, I've got one last question for Stephen and Nick. Stephen, we'll start with you as to what would be one piece of advice you'd give an organization, either aligning through design, secure by design at design time, through deployment to operationalization. What would that be?
I think you've heard it throughout the conversation, and that's just the continuous thread of security from design through to actual deployment. So again, the farther left you can get as we began in the conversation with Tony, and then iterating as you go through. Again, nothing's ever going to be perfect. Don't set that expectation. But again, use tools like Secure Suite or frankly, whatever kind of tools you can get your hands on to make sure that you're doing a continuous assessment of that environment and that you're continuing to operate securely. And again, to be able to do that, you need access to standards. If I'm at an MSP event or any other event, one of the things that I continuously hear and one of the pieces of advice that I often give is, look, the wonderful thing about the CIS controls is they are the how-to. And again, Tony talked about this earlier. They're truly the how-to. We're not just pointing at a random control saying, go do. It's here's how you go do. And that's an important guiding factor. So again, that continuous threat assessment and evaluating yourself along with leveraging a standard that you can understand and actually deliver against.
Brilliant. Thank you. Nick, same question to you, sir.
I think it would be, leverage the community resources that you have, whether it be the best practices from CIS from that standpoint, the CSP best practices, and there are a number of those. And, I think secure by design and security, this is a journey, right? It's not a destination. And, you know, as the technology, specifically in each cloud, the services are changing every day. And with that comes the drift of your configuration of the cloud and perhaps those systems as well. So really leverage those free resources available from CIS as well as other partners out there. And certainly, I think from that perspective of how you're developing and what your actual pipeline looks like from the SecDevOps perspective, really applying the CIS controls to that process and making sure that you understand all of those opportunities are really going to, I think bring significant success for you.
Wonderful. Stephen, Nick, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Great insights. I think there's a part two. Check your calendars and we'll get something else scheduled because this was excellent conversation. I don't know about you, Tony, but this was a really great insights.
Yeah, I appreciate hearing, and you guys can see a lot of customers and their challenges, right? And help position it. So we appreciate the work that you're doing and hearing a little bit about what you're seeing.
Yeah, and I think that's the last thing I would say, Sean, is don't hesitate to reach out, right? You've got a great community here within CIS. And if you've got questions or if you want to know how to become involved, again, Tony coordinates a lot of our volunteer efforts. Sean, as you well know, between Nick and myself, we've got a lot of our customers and partners that operate in Workbench. Don't hesitate to reach out. We're happy to assist and get you involved in the community that is CIS.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, Tony, as always, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And thank you to our audience. Remember to subscribe with your preferred podcast providers, catch us on YouTube at The CI Security. Questions, comments, concerns, reach out to us at podcast@cisecurity.org. And with that, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.